This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of November 24th, 2024. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 371. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest, I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker, and on the big deal feature, the FIFA World Cup 26 comes to Vancouver in 18 months, but in one part of Vancouver, the event starts in January. That is when the heart of Memorial South Park is scheduled to close. Vancouver civic officials say it will be transformed into a temporary practice facility for teams assigned to play at BC Place Stadium in June and July 2026. But a group of South Vancouver residents wants FIFA to take a hike and go elsewhere. Meet Cindy Heinrichs and Beth Ringdahl of Friends of Memorial South Park. Plus, an update on the BC NDP cabinet. How did guest Alan Mullen and I do on our predictions for David Eby's new ministers? This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. The FIFA Men's World Cup is coming to 16 cities in Canada, US, and Mexico in just a year and a half. Vancouver's BC Place Stadium will host 7 matches beginning June 13, 2026. Here is FIFA President Gianni Infantino from 2018 and Vancouver Mayor Ken Sim from 2024.
The member associations of Canada, Mexico, and USA have been selected by the FIFA Congress to host the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Thank you.
We are literally hosting 30 to 40 Super Bowl equivalents in the city of Vancouver over a month-long period. You gotta figure, a lot of people are gonna fall in love with our city when they see it.
Last spring, the NDP government said the cost to BC taxpayers could be as high as $581 million. But the World Cup could be coming to a neighborhood park in South Vancouver as soon as January 2025. That is because the Vancouver Board of Parks and Recreation and Vancouver City Hall plan to close a large part of Memorial South Park in order to turn the cricket oval and surrounding area into a training facility for World Cup teams. The other training center will be Killarney Park. Memorial South was dedicated 98 years ago to soldiers who sacrificed their lives in World War I. It is the site of one of Vancouver's biggest Remembrance Day ceremonies every year. Neighbors Cindy Heinrichs and Beth Ringdahl are part of Friends of Memorial South Park. They are unhappy with the lack of consultation and the abundant secrecy. They want civic officials to choose another park. The first voice you will hear is Cindy Heinrichs.
They're putting in a temporary FIFA training facility for the summer of 2026. I believe, is it 5 weeks?
Seven.
7 weeks. And but they're closing this area of the park, or a larger area of the park possibly. We are having a hard time getting accurate information about that, for 2 years from what we can tell. They're cutting 15 trees, which we think are all healthy trees. They are not informing the community about what's going on, and we're trying to find out what's going on and inform the community.
Never.
No.
Wow.
The people who live along the edge of the park were given a postcard that informed them that 4 light standards would be erected in the park. And they are the only people who've received any information whatsoever, and it was only about 4 light standards, nothing about a 2-year closure of the park and the work that would be done here.
Beth Ringdahl holds up a map showing the tentative plans.
And we're told it's all temporary. This is the practice, the training, washrooms, etc., shower rooms for the athletes, the FIFA operations center, our cenotaph that will be behind a security fence, the existing field house that will be for the city works, and a media center. All of these are to be removed. This athletes training center is on top of our children's playground, which we are told is going to be potentially a temporary pop-up playground somewhere in the park. No firm commitment to that.
There are bats actually living in some of these trees as well. I've been told that the bats are protected, but the trees that they live in are not protected. Mm. So we think that some of that bat habitat will come down.
Mm-hmm.
And hundreds of people in the summer or good weather are here doing church picnics, family reunions. We don't even know for sure where this 2.5 meter security perimeter fence is. Is it going to be a nice place to visit for two summers? Public washrooms? We don't even know if it's going to be public washrooms.
Well, the public washrooms are going to be closed off because the field house is going to be closed off. So we've been asking them if we get porta potties, and we haven't been given an answer. So I can just see when we have all the soccer teams playing over there, our local soccer teams, not the FIFA soccer teams, that maybe they'll erect some porta potties for them. Mm-hmm. We're hoping that people will look into what's going on here and find out more about it,
mm-hmm.
because this is indicative of things that are happening in other parts of the city. We've not been informed. Things are kept very secret. And the story is ever shifting, and this is something people should be concerned about if this is the way that our city is being run. Mm-hmm. And also, if they can support our petition, that would be great, because the more people that sign it, the louder our voices.
Mm-hmm. And one more point is just the secrecy behind this, that there's clear procurement and bid processes that are supposed to be followed in the city. We can't find any documentation about the particular contractors that are doing this work. That's part of being a taxpayer in Vancouver, that you should be able to know how your tax dollars are being spent.
Memorial South Park is a destination for baseball, soccer, tennis, lacrosse, track and field, cricket, and kabaddi. There are outdoor fitness machines and even a pollinator meadow. I followed Beth and Cindy on November 5th around the park, where they gave pamphlets to people like senior Jan Gill. Jan Gill marvels at what the park means to the diverse community. He supports the Friends of Memorial South Park, but worries that politicians will ignore Beth and Cindy.
All together, morning, evening, about 80.
Yes.
Wow.
This is a different group. One group comes sit over there. Then in the evening, one group of them play cards, then they walk. Few of them, they just have a couple of drinks. To be honest with you, everybody's enjoying different ways.
And
right?
We all yeah. play together, like yeah. the kids and the tennis players and the athletes.
I know.
We all play together.
I've been living in this country for the last 49 years. But this place, everybody admires.
Yeah.
Every nationality, every age, they like to come here. And they get along fine, no fight, no argument.
Here you are. Dealing with FIFA and all its major sponsors coming to town, deciding to be in your neighborhood. How does this make you feel as citizens, neighbors, and taxpayers?
Well, we're the voiceless. We're trying to represent the voiceless of the community. There's a lot of people here who wouldn't even know how to speak out,
no.
how to reach out to the city.
I think between us, we've spoken to hundreds of people, and there are other members on the committee who have as well. Hundreds of people who use this park, and we hand out flyers to let them know what's going on. And some people are still shocked. We're in November now, and people are still shocked. We've had grown men get tears in their eyes when they're told that they're not going to be able to use this park for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of a feeling of betrayal and a feeling that they took none of our needs into consideration. They didn't even have the basic respect to tell us what they were going to do. I don't know anybody who's happy about it. The only people who seem to be in support of it are people who think they're going to be invited to watch the practice, which is not going to happen. So, but honestly, for me, I think that that's been three people out of hundreds of people that I've spoken to. So I don't think people are hurt and they feel betrayed by City Hall, by the Parks Board, by the FIFA Secretariat. They feel that we don't matter. So they're going to have their big fancy event, and they're going to come here, they're going to cut our beautiful trees down for a temporary event, and they're going to leave us with nothing. On the FIFA Secretariat website right now, it actually says that the legacy, which we were promised, in Brendan Bastiavansky actually said in an August Vancouver Sun article that there would be a legacy. There is no legacy. It actually says that now on the FIFA Secretariat website. So we're trying to inform the public, and we have a petition at change.org. called Our Park, Not FIFA's Field, and we're trying to draw attention to this and get people to speak and say that this is unacceptable and they can't have their FIFA field here.
Heinrichs and Ringdahl have more than 1,600 supporters on their change.org petition. Park Board Commissioner Tom Digby of the Green Party told me that planning is taking place behind closed doors at the request of FIFA, City Hall, and the provincial government. He said he is concerned about the trees, public access to the park, and where team buses will park in 2026. By comparison, Seattle-based World Cup teams will practice at the University of Washington and Seattle University. In Toronto, there will be one practice field and one field house at Centennial Park near Pearson International Airport. Vancouver's Memorial South Park is 33 acres. By comparison, Toronto's Centennial Park is 525 acres. If you have concerns about FIFA coming to your city in 2026, I want to hear from you. Email bob@thebreaker.news. An update after last week's edition. Guest Alan Mullen and I made fearless predictions for Premier David Eby's new cabinet ministers, who were sworn in on November 18th. The 24-member cabinet saw longtime Health Minister Adrian Dix trade places with Energy Minister Josie Osborne. Osborne's health ministry absorbed mental health and addictions. Ravi Kailan remained as housing minister, but now also wears the municipal affairs hat. Brenda Bailey went from economic development to finance. Eby named two crime-fighting ministers and transferred longtime Solicitor General Mike Farnworth to transportation and transit. And Bowen Ma becomes the new infrastructure minister, dealing with cost overruns and late projects across the province. You can read more about the new NDP cabinet. Look for the Breaker.news headline that says, "A Baker's Dozen Facts About the New NDP Cabinet." So, how did Alan and I do? Well, we got six picks right each, but Alan is expected to win the contest when NDP MLA Raj Chauhan returns as the speaker. Now, listen to the highlights.
Eby might consider putting Lana Popham back in. Lana was incredibly popular and well-liked in the agricultural community when she was Minister of Agriculture.
Now, I'm thinking that for Attorney General and Children and Family Development, that David Eby is going to stand pat. Nikki Sharma in Vancouver Hastings was the Attorney General before the election, and Grace Lohr in Victoria Beacon Hill.
I do indeed. Yeah, I think you're spot on there, Bob. I think that Nikki Sharma is a no-brainer for Attorney General. And I also agree Grace Lohr is, you know, the perfect spot is Children and Family Development for her.
And now in Citizen Services, I'm reluctantly saying that EB is going to keep George Chow from Vancouver Fraserview.
If I'm moving Ann Kang from Municipal Affairs, I think a good landing spot then for Ann Kang would be post-secondary education. There is nobody better suited to be Solicitor General of the province than Gary Begg, and I think that's where he will land.
Water, Land, and Resource Stewardship, that's some people called it WALRUS for short. It's the ministry formerly known as Land and Water Resource Stewardship, Land Wars. It's had some different names over the years, different business cards, and you'll have a new minister there. And I'm thinking that new minister would be Randine Neal. That's where I think Randine Neal, the former broadcaster who won on the Sunshine Coast, will go. So next up is Social Development. Sheila Malcolmson from Nanaimo Gabriel Island has been the minister there, and I'm thinking that she'll continue to be that minister.
Who I'm thinking for tourism is Spencer Chandra Herbert.
You've got a lot of projects, transportation projects, bridges, highways, SkyTrain that are late, over budget. It's a hot potato ministry, and someone like Mike Farnworth would be someone who could take charge there.
I think probably Raj Chauhan stays. You know, he's been the speaker, you know, since Darrell Plec has vacated. He's done a reasonable job. He's, you know, he's fine as speaker.
News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the Taiwan news, Taiwan export orders rise 4.9% in October. AI, high-performance computing, and cloud computing fuel surge. The October total of $55.45 billion US dollars marked the 8th consecutive increase. Export orders for the first 10 months of the year totaled $484.35 billion, 3.8% more than during the same period in 2023. In Kyoto news, Japan PM Ishiba criticized for bad manners at APEC summit. Footage showed Ishiba checking his smartphone while seated as leaders including Canadian counterpart Justin Trudeau and Malaysia's Anwar Ibrahim approached him. Ishiba looked up from his phone and shook hands, but he did not stand up. In the Hong Kong Free Press, Hong Kong 47, government to consider appealing for longer sentences as Taiwan and overseas groups condemn case. Convicted of conspiring to commit subversion, 45 former legislators, ex-district councillors, and activists received jail sentences ranging from 4 years and 2 months to 10 years. While Beijing hailed Hong Kong's rule of law following the jailing of 45 pro-democracy figures on November 19th, foreign governments and rights groups offered condemnation of the case. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In Willamette Week, Mayor-elect Keith Wilson pledges to end unsheltered homelessness with or without support from other elected officials. The cornerstone of Wilson's landslide win in Portland is a plan to establish 2,000 nighttime shelter beds within the year. He says doing so will effectively end unsheltered homelessness and place the city back on the right track. The details of Wilson's plan, which he thinks will cost $25 million annually, are still opaque. In Crosscut, Project 2025 calls for massive changes to Hanford nuclear cleanup. Arguably the most radioactively and chemically contaminated spot in the Western Hemisphere, the Hanford Nuclear Reservation's cleanup is governed by a 35-year-old legal agreement called the Tri-Party Agreement. The Heritage Foundation's blueprint proposes reclassifying radioactive waste as something less dangerous so it can be disposed of more cheaply. And in the Breaker.News, these headlines. Will British Columbians get to see EB's real mandate letters? And a baker's dozen facts about the new NDP cabinet. Read the stories behind the headlines. Go to thebreaker.news. And introducing bobmackin.substack.com. Visit me there too. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
It don't matter what color you are, 'cause love will conquer hate.
Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to the Canadian Football League, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and the champion Toronto Argonauts, Amar Doman, Dwayne Vineau, and the host BC Lions, BC Play Stadium, Vancouverites, volunteers, and CFL fans from everywhere. Everybody who made the 2024 Grey Cup Festival a success. Memo to the next CFL commissioner? Please don't wait 10 years to bring the game back to the West Coast. And you can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar? Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of November 24th, 2024. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 24th of November in 1971, hijacker D.B. Cooper parachuted from a Northwest Orient airplane with $200,000? He was never found, but the mystery continues. Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. And introducing bobmackin.substack.com. Visit me there too. Sign up for the free email newsletter and get updates to your inbox, or follow The Breaker News as news happens on X, formerly Twitter. And you can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.